This conference will.
I thoroughly enjoyed the article because I thought, you know, there's, I love referral business, okay? And I, you know, we've talked about how to build your business with referrals. We've talked about Bob Berg and the referral business. You can look back at manatrain.net. And if you haven't started doing your business using referrals, I'm going to highly recommend you take a new approach and start using referrals to grow your business. Lydia, I'm getting that clicking again.
This conference will...
Okay, I'm just trying to clean up the... I don't know what's causing that. Good. Well, there it is again. I still have it. I guess we'll just have to complain to the organization. We're getting clicking. All right. All right, so let's start. So I've talked... I can't... Lydia, I can't do this. Can you do it again?
This conference will...
Okay, there we go. Cleaned it up. Good. Oh. I will try to proceed. I hate the clicking noise. I can't talk when I'm getting clicking all the time, but we'll try to get through this. Lydia, we need to confirm what's going on so I can... All right, so we're going to talk about referrals. And the reason... I don't know that we can do this, people. We're hanging up against that one more opportunity. Lydia, I can't continue.
This conference will...
Okay. Nope. All right. We're going to just move ahead and let it click. All right. So we're going to talk about referrals today. And one of the main reasons we talk about referrals is, you know, and I, as I said before, I've trained on this numbers of times. You can go on manatrain.net and you can get numerous trainings that I've done with Bob Berg and Timothy Templeton, I believe. There are different people that have written books and talked about using referrals and growing your business with referrals. And I think it's absolutely crucial that you work with referrals in growing your business. In fact, there are some people out there that have really grown their entire network marketing business by using referrals. And one of the main reasons, why do I say referrals are so important? Well, all I want you to do is think about what you're doing to try to find people. Because inherently, I get people on coaching calls and when I meet people out in the field that say, well, Mary Jo, where do you find people? How do you locate people? And people are always asking that question. They're trying to figure out, where do I find people? How do I get new people in my organization? And, you know, we look at all the different techniques that are out there. And you can buy leads. You can go after cold leads. You can do all sorts of different marketing. You can go to job fairs. You can meet people, what I call lifestyle marketing. You can use auto dialers. There's just 101 different techniques to go out and find people in the marketplace, right? And we all agree with that. But one of the problems is we don't do it, okay? So that's number one. But one of the reasons we are not doing it is because we have such a hard time maybe breaking the ice and then building a relationship with that person. Because when you start off in a new relationship with somebody, from day one, what happens? You start off, and one of the first things that you have to establish with any person is something called trust. It's one thing to break the barrier in terms of breaking the ice with somebody, but if the second thing is, how do I get that person to trust me? Because if people don't trust you, they're not going to buy from you or listen to you or go any further with any kind of relationship with you. Well, therein lies the number one reason why referral business is so incredibly powerful. Because it gives you it breaks that barrier right up front. If somebody knows somebody else, I love it, especially with, you know, people like my pastor's wife, when she can give me 5 referrals, I love calling up people and say, hi, my name's Mary Jo Hilliker, and my pastor's wife, you know, I give her a name, and I say, you know, she said that she's known you for years and really likes you, and I start talking about her and their relationship. So right off the bat, I'm breaking the barrier. I don't know the person, but she has a reference, and we have a person we know together. And that has a resounding impact on breaking down any kind of barrier, because they will bring the similar kind of love and appreciation they have for the person that referred them to me in that call. So I can break down that ice immediately and start working with that person as if I've known them for as long as the person who referred them knew them. So the reason referrals are so powerful is for that exact reason. You have the ability to get beyond that barrier in that initial phone call. So it's not like you need to spend 3 weeks building a relationship, taking them out to lunch, and doing all the things that it typically takes us in many, many relationships to build that trust. So that's why we want to work with referrals. And so working with referrals and building a business around referrals is critical for all of us. Today's call isn't about so much how do I build a business around referrals, but that concept that Jim Penny wrote in this article had more to do with what are we doing with the referral information that we have. In other words, are we really managing our referral business in an appropriate way? And for those of you who don't have a referral business, this call is critical for you because it's going to get you kicked off on the right path. For those of you who do some referrals from time to time, it's going to get you doing the right things around your referral business. So let's kick off and talk about what he's talking about in his article. He uses the acronym RIRO, R-I-R-O. And what that stands for is referrals in and referrals out. And it's up to us. We must manage our referrals. We need to manage them. We need to know, in order to know the value of our network business, we need to be able to manage our referrals. And the reason why we need to manage them is because if you measure what you're doing, that's when you can start improving upon it. So many of us do this business by the seat of our pants, and we just kind of go out there and fling it and just get to know people, just like in your prospecting that you're doing, okay? You do it kind of by the seat of your pants, and what happens? You end up washing people's information in your back pocket, your blue jeans that goes through the laundry, and I mean, you're disorganized. You don't follow up with people because you lose their information. You forget who you sent it to. You lost their telephone number. The other day, Lydia and I was looking at Lydia going, hey, where's this woman's telephone number? I told her I'd call her back in 2 days. It was hilarious. We look like a zoo around here. And we finally figured out that we were trying to place it because I'm doing so much prospecting right now. We were trying to place where I first contacted her. And I had her address, but I didn't have her phone number. And we couldn't find it, you know, using white pages on the internet searches and everything. And she said, finally, Lydia looked at me. She goes, Mary Jo, that's a woman that called in off of that auto dialer system. And I said, oh, my gosh. So I went back in our telephone. And it was erased in our phone, but we ended up going back and paying, you know, $1.99 or something. And we got a list of all the incoming phone calls. I mean, there's 101 ways to skin a cat, but it took us about, I don't know, 15 minutes to uncover this woman's phone number. And the reason I'd never had it is because she called in on our line, and all I did was get her address, assuming Lydia had the telephone number. And then when I tried to call her back, of course, I came up empty. So it's like, how do we get more organized? We need to be organized. Well, just like we need organization around our prospecting efforts, we also need organization around our referral efforts. Because unless you straighten out your information and have it really clear-cut and concisely drafted somewhere, you're not going to be able to expand on it, expound on it, and maximize the results in your business. Because you need to know what's working and what's not working. And that's the same way we evaluate going to job fairs and entrepreneurial fairs and everything else we do in terms of strategies and prospecting. You know, we want to evaluate our success rates so that we're putting our time and energy, our only limited asset time, into the right directions so that we're going to achieve the maximum results. So so that's Jim's kind of whole concept is how are you managing your referral business? And if you don't have a referral business right now, I want you to really focus on this call and how to set up managing it and get kicked off in that direction, and it'll help you build a referral business. He kind of diagrams three different types of networking approaches that occur in our business, and this just kind of gives you an idea of where management of referral isn't happening, okay? So he talks about go deep groups. That's one of the areas he talks about, and that's kind of what he talks about, like the B&I. The go deep groups he calls the ones that only let one of a kind in each group. So, like, if you go and try to join BNI and they only let one person in the nutrition industry into their group or one makeup person or one dentist because they don't want people competing, and those go deep groups. And he says majority of them don't really use an effective tracking system. Only some of those groups actually track referrals, and they don't do a very effective job of it. Then he looked at the go wide groups that some people join for referrals, and that's like the Chamber of Commerce, where it's kind of like anyone's welcome. Yet anyone can join, anyone can be a member, and rarely, if ever, do they track. So what happens is when you join Chamber of Commerce and you start working with people, what happens is you tend to, and a lot of you join these organizations to, you know, get prospects, you know, and look at the people as prospects instead of referral machines. So you got to look at it both ways. You got to make sure you're looking at these people as referral machines for you. But when you join Chamber of Commerce, most of those don't do any kind of tracking system. And then we come to assumptions about some of the people in the Chamber of Commerce, and we say the people that do the most talking or have the most, you know, social skills, we just start assuming they're the best networkers, and that's not necessarily true. So you won't find out just by personality. You won't know until you actually do tracking, and they're not doing that in those groups. And then you have the third category that he talks about, networking approaches, where we go global. In other words, we do online networking groups, like, you know, our social networking, which Terry Petrovic's going to do a training for us on that, on social networking groups. And that can even be more confusing, because a lot of people that go out there and they're starting to look at Facebook and, you know, the Twitters and, YouTube stuff, and what they're doing is they're assuming that people who have the most friends are the ones that are the best networkers. And again, that's not necessarily true at all. People try to collect all those friends, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're the best networking. So you can't measure results by the number of friends that you have. And his bottom line conclusion here is that if you're not measuring your results by the number one reason people network, which is referrals, then you're not really understanding what you're getting. But understand, number one reason why people network is to get referrals. We network to get referrals. And I'll tell you, a perfect example of that was what I did at the job fair. There was a woman there that wasn't interested in, here's a perfect example. She wasn't interested in necessarily alternative income stream or finding an entrepreneurial business. She came to the entrepreneur fair to try to find leads for her own business. She did labeling and things like that. She was a labeling company out of Austin, Texas area. So when she came by the booth and I talked to her, she really was very honest. I said, so what can I do for you? What's your name? We talked about what she did and was she interested in her economic stimulus plan. And she goes, Mary Jo, I'm really interested in growing my own business right now and all my attention's on that. And I said, great. I love, you know, women run businesses. I'm really supportive of that. So we started chatting and she told me what she did. And I said, would you like to contact at Manitech, who's in charge of purchasing in the labeling area and all that stuff, so you can, you know, and she goes, it's exactly what I'd like, you know. So we had a great talk. Well, 2 days later, I called her back, and I gave her that information. Well, guess what I asked her in the process? See, what it is I gave her a referral, I gave her information, and now she's giving me some referrals of people that she knows. Even though she's not interested in your economic stimulus plan, she has people that are desperately looking for alternative streams of income. And her business isn't really taking off, so she can't hire them. But she said, Mary Jo, these are perfect people. You know, they're competent people I'd like to hire, but I don't have the wherewithal to do it today. So I'm getting good referrals from her, even though she's not interested. And that's a perfect example of tit for tat. You know, you're out there, you help people out get what they want, and they'll help you get what you want. But you've got to be in the mood of giving. You've got to be in that mood. And so we network because the whole concept is how can I support you in doing what you're doing, and then how are you going to support me in accomplishing what I'm doing? So that's what you're doing. If you're measuring results by the number one reason people network, that's what we need to do, which is we network for referrals. All right, so acknowledging that, let's look at how do we keep track. If we measure our results, how do we measure our results? So his whole approach is called the RERO approach, which is referrals in, referrals out. You've got to keep track of how effective your referral machine is so that you are able to classify properly who are your main referral machine people and who are those that maybe aren't really serving you or effectively getting you quality referrals. So what his strategy is that you first of all take your information and organize your information. So you take your network of people. Now, people, distinguish this. This isn't about prospects. This is about people that will give you referrals. This isn't prospecting. This is about people who are going to give you referrals. And that's the referrals become your prospects, right? But so these are people in your life that they might already be taking the products with you, but they're not willing to do the business. But they become your referral machine. So what you want to do is organize those people first. And he has this concept called networking 250. And he says, so what you do is you take the first top people, your circle of influence, or you call them your power 25. And those power 25 should be the 25 people that are most likely to, you know, breed the most number of referrals. So I would consider those people that are very socially active, you know, the president of the junior league or the head of the chamber of commerce or whoever that might be in your life, your pastor, your church, people who are dynamic leaders who, you know, when you walk in a room, clusters of people kind of linger and hang out with them. So you know they have a big sphere of influence, and thus they have a lot of potential. Now, that's where you start. Understand, start. You start with the ones that are most likely in your mind to produce the most amount of referrals. That doesn't mean they're going to end up in your Power 25. It just means that you know, when you first classify them, you want to come out with a classification that makes some sense based on the information you have about those people. So you organize your network into logical groups. Your first group is your Power 25. And that's what you limit it to only 25 because those are the people that you view are the most influential in all the people you know. Then the second is called your top 100. Well, since your 25, your power 25, are part of your top 100, the top 100 group really ends up being only 75 people. Does that make some sense to you? So you have this is how he outlines it. It's kind of confusing. I wouldn't do it the same way, but this is how his approach is. So you have 25 people in your power 25 group. Then your top 100 includes that 25 plus 75 more. So you look at who are the next 75 people I know that potentially could give me referrals that are, you know, in my quote-unquote top 100 of all the people I know, their potential. And then your third group is what he calls the networking 250. So now you have 100 in the first two groups, so you have 150 in the balance of that networking 250. So that gives you your networking 250. So you have 250 people. Some of you are going, oh, my gosh, Mary Jo, I couldn't even think of 250 people. That's good news and bad news, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But anyway, you come up with the other 150 that goes into that networking 250. And then if you still have remaining stragglers, then you put them in as acquaintances. So they may or may not ever give you any leads, but, you know, they're acquaintances that you have. And some of us might not come up with 250 in our network. Our networking 250 might turn out to be networking 50, and the rest of them be acquaintances, whatever classification. But understand that you want to get organized and classify these people in your referral-based business because that's the way you're getting organized. You're getting structured with them. And trust me, after this article I read, Lydia and I are adopting a procedure to do exactly this. Because I think it's a great idea. So that's your group. So you have four classifications. So that's, first of all, you do what? You organize that and you get those classifications out. The second thing that you're going to do is what? You're going to bring realistic expectations around each of those four categories. So if you look at your outline, of course, and this is where there's a mistake in the original outline. In the box that we've inserted in the outline, there should be four categories, the power 25, the top 100, the next 150, which is your networking 250 with the other two categories, and then acquaintances. Those are your four categories. So now you need to set up realistic expectations around those four categories. And what are the realistic expectations around them? In other words, if I asked you right now, you guys, if you had a Power 25 group, how many referrals would you look for per year, per month, per quarter, per week from somebody that's in your Power 25? Somebody give me an idea what they might expect from if anyone in here doing referral business, or even if you're not doing it, if you had a powerful person in your life who was maybe on the product or said they weren't interested, but you were going to use them as a referral base and they had a big sphere of influence. How many referrals would you like to get from them on a weekly basis or monthly basis? Somebody give me an idea. If you're filling in your boxes right now, what are you guys writing down? Power 25, how many referrals you want?
I'd like 5 a week.
You'd like 5 per week. Okay, so put 5. Okay, so fill in your little box, put number of referrals 5, and then put over here per week, right?
Right.
Okay, all right. And then your next category is, okay, after my circle of influence, my Power 25 group, I have 75 more people that make my top 100. How many referrals would I look forward to getting from those people on a weekly, monthly, or quarterly basis? Do These are no longer your high power guys. These are just people that you look at, like, but they're in your top 100.
Mm-hmm.
Who's playing ball with me?
Maybe 10 a month.
Maybe 10 a month. Well, that's almost, that's half as many? You think 10 a month? Okay.
Well, 75 people. I don't know.
Yeah, that's good. I'm just saying that you're talking about, you got to deal with these 75 people too, remember.
Right.
Okay, so we're putting 10 a month. Okay, now your next group is the next 150 of your top 250. How many do you expect to get with those in your third category?
I'd say one or two a month.
One or two a month. Okay, great. And then finally, acquaintances. How many do you think your acquaintances are going to do?
One a month or less.
One a month or less. So maybe let's say one a quarter. You want to say one a quarter for those?
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Okay, acquaintances will do one a quarter. Okay, now if I just take the top three categories of what, and who is the one who's responding to me? What's your name?
This is Cindy.
Cindy. Okay, Cindy. So let's just take, for example, what you just proposed based on, you know, and this is, again, setting realistic expectations. If I want my top 25 to give me 5 referrals a week, all right, that's
okay.
Going to mean I am going to get 125 referrals a week from that group alone.
Mm. That's a lot.
Okay. Are you guys starting to see the idea? We love to think about, oh, yeah, 5 referrals a week. I'd love to get 5 referrals a week from these guys. Da-da-da. Well, when you start multiplying out the numbers, you got to get back and go, oh, wait a minute, that might not be very realistic. You know, these people might be willing to give you 5 referrals a week, but I don't think you're going to be able to manage 5 referrals a week from 25 people. You follow the problem here. All right? So,
yep.
So the idea is to set realistic expectations from the people. So maybe your power 25, I'm going to go back and rework this for you. So right away we saw just from the beginning, you wanted 5 a week, that's 125. You wanted 10 every month from your next group, 75 people, okay? So
okay, now I was thinking of this as a collective, like from my power 25.
Oh, you didn't want each one of them to give you 5. You
right.
Wanted out of your power 25. You wanted to get, okay, so you're really asking the 25, so you're getting 125 a month, so you're looking at getting two per week?
Right.
Two per week from the whole group. No, 120, you wanted 5 per week.
5 per week out of that, out of my group.
Oh, out of that group. Oh, okay, 5 per week out of the entire group. Oh, I got it. So you're really asking them 5 per week, so that would be like one per person per month.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay, that's good. Okay, one per person per month. That's great. Okay, so that's more reasonable. Here, I was thinking you were talking 5 per person. I was like, wow, you're going to be wiped out. Okay, so one per person per month. So and even if you do one per person per month, evaluate what you set up. If you want one per person per month, per month, from your power 25.
Right.
Okay, one per person per month. That gives you 25 referrals per month, right?
Right.
All right. And then one per quarter from your top 100. So you get, that would be 75, one per quarter from your top 75. And then maybe one a year from your networking 250, the balance 150. If I did it that limited, one per month from your power 25, one per quarter from your top 100, and one per year from your networking 250, which is the balance 150 other people in your 250 group, the total would be 750 referrals on an annual basis. At that limited number, 750 referrals annually. Think about that.
That's huge.
It's gigantic. It would, and if you assume, now let's take it one more step. If you assume that each referral is going to take a couple of phone calls, maybe a one-on-one meeting with them, you know, some follow-up, and maybe you're going to spend, I'm going to make an unreasonable expectation that you could accomplish all this in 1 hour to either close them or, you know, sort them that this isn't for them, that it's going to take you at least an hour. You're talking about spending at least 3 hours a day, every 5 days a week, for the entire year, just on your referral business.
Wow.
Not talking about any, isn't that huge?
Mm-hmm.
By just getting one per month from your power 25, one per quarter from your top 100, and one a year from the balance of your networking 250. Huge. Huge. So you start looking at that and saying, wow, if that's what I'm, those are the numbers I'm looking for, maybe that's, you know, and maybe that's the expectation you should have, that you want to spend 3 hours a day working on your referral business. I think for some of you, that would grow your business better than you've ever seen in your life. But I want you to get the gist of, you don't need to look at one person and demand five referrals a week or two referrals or one referral a week from an individual. You need to spread it out over lots of people, and you can be reasonable about it and be effective with it if you do it that way. So you want to make sure that your expectation of the referral business is something, number one, that's not unreasonable upon them, but more so, number two, is something that you can manage and you're willing to do all the work and the follow-up and everything else that goes along with your referral business. So if you get 750 leads a year, you got a ton of referral leads, and that's going to be one heck of a business. You're going to be running out of referral leads. The good news of all this is that most people don't have 250 networking contacts. Now, you can say that's good and bad because you'd love to have them, but how are you going to manage them? They have to be manageable for you. So you still break out your top 25, your top 100. Maybe your top 25 is the majority of the both of them, and then the rest of the people are acquaintances for you. But I would break it. You still want to organize them and who's most effective for you so you have an idea of what's working and what's not working. Because you don't want to overwhelm yourself. And the other thing you don't want to do is that most of these people, just like the woman I met at the job fair, for me to get her to give me referrals, I had to give her a referral. My referral was what she was doing in her business. It didn't have anything to do with, you know, network marketing, but it had something to do with how do I support her in her business? How do I help her be the best she can be and help her business along? And now I have her card and I can help other people looking for good labeling services. And how does she help me? The quality of the leads is critical as well. So when you overwhelm yourself, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to end up transferring bad information to other people. You're going to give them junky leads instead of good leads. And when you start doing that, you ruin relationships with people. So you don't ever want to toss out bad leads. And I used to teach, I mean, I taught referrals and giving, you know, setting up swap teams and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I never talked about quality leads. And you want to make sure you're giving quality leads out because that's the only way you're going to be respected, keep the relationship going, getting quality leads back. And the last thing you want people to do is dump junky leads on you. So don't dump junky leads on them. Keep that in mind as you do these lead exchange programs. Okay? So you want to make sure that. And the second thing is you don't want to just really constantly churn your network because then you're going to end up exploiting people. You're going to constantly churn. You're going to go back to the same person over and over and over again to keep getting people from them, and they're going to fall out, not only perhaps out of your business, but they might fall out of friendship with you. And you don't want to do that. Don't abuse a friendship. So be careful on what you set up as your expectations to make them reasonable and make sure that you're serving them. And my whole concept comes from what I've always lived, which is part of the Go Give book, which is you always give more than you get back. Always give more value than you expect to receive. And that's what makes life so beautiful because you're always giving more than you receive, and it's incredible, you know, how that great biblical concept and just, you know, natural law works. As you sow, so shall you reap. And I always say, as you sow, the more shall you reap. Okay? As you sow, the more shall you reap. So you'll always get back more than you give in, but you're going to give in a lot because you can never outgive God. That's how I tell people, too. Never can outgive God. So, you know, as you put yourself out there and give, you will receive tenfold. All right? So anyway, so it's important that we don't abuse our referral business. We don't misuse it. We get set reasonable expectations on what people are going to give back to us. In terms of it's not overwhelming for them nor overwhelming for us, and we don't become a churning business and exploit people, that we really honor the people who are doing us the favor of helping us build our business. And then tracking. Step three is tracking. So you, number one, you organize your people that you're getting referrals from into separating out what category they belong in, your top power team, then you have your top 100, and then you have your balance of your networking 250, and then your acquaintances. Number two, you set reasonable expectations on what you expect from them, okay? And that means the reason you set reasonable expectations, too, is for you to make sure you're on the phone requesting referrals. And that's what I think is so beautiful about setting up a system, like Jim Penny's talking about here, is I believe that if you set up the system, it will motivate you and activate you to start really doing a referral-based business. So that step two is reasonable expectations. Step three is begin tracking, establish a system. I set up for you guys a tracking sheet, and make sure you're getting the second outline because Lydia sent you our initial draft instead of our final draft of just a sheet you can use for tracking. It's called Networking 250-RI/RO, referrals in, referrals out. And when you list it, what you're doing is you're listing your, it just gave you one sheet for one of the your Power 25. And you can build this as an Excel spreadsheet, which works the best because you don't have to worry about how many lines, rows that you put after each Power 25 name. You can build it with just listing your Power 25. And every time you give them a referral or they give you a referral, you just insert a row. So you're just building the Excel spread as the names come in. And that's what makes it so easy to use an Excel spreadsheet when you build something like this. Or you can do it by paper like the way I did it, but it'll be a lengthy, it'll be a 20-page document or so, you know, you might have, and you might only put five numbers on it instead of 10 as I set forth in here. But the idea is that you want to have your Power 25 name, whoever the person is, you know, whether it's your head of the Chamber of Commerce, and then the referral name. Now, you have RIs and ROs in here because what happens is you have referrals in and you have referrals out. In other words, you're going to get a referral from them, that's a referral in to you, and you're going to get a referral out when you refer out to them a person for their business or something that's valuable to them. So you keep track of what you're referring out, what they're referring in, data referral, and the result that is accomplished. You don't always know the referrals out, but you can find that out by having a good relationship with your Power 25 person. So you keep track of this. This is what's so critical about this referral system is tracking it. And it's only through this kind of mechanism that you put in place, which doesn't take a lot of time or effort. It's a recording device of results. And a lot of us don't like to record results because we just go, Mary Jo, they're too negative or something. And I go, are you kidding me? What negativity comes up, it needs to be recorded so you figure out how to do it better or who is really giving you powerful leads. Because if you have somebody in your top Power 25 team, because they're a great name, but they keep giving you junk leads, maybe it's time to cut them out of your Power 25 and put them in your acquaintance file so that you're not pursuing more and more leads because what they're giving you isn't panning out. They're not giving you substantial leads. They're giving you just names of who's that don't have any interest whatsoever in either a home-based business and or health. So they're not paying attention to what your business is to give you quality leads. Okay, so this is so you can set up a form like I suggest, and this is just a form I made up after reading the article. So you can come up with your own format any way you'd like to do it, but you need to have some kind of measuring stick that keeps track. It's a tracking device that's going to track these for you so you can assess. And the fourth step is exactly that, assess and adjust based on reality. You want to review and adjust people in each of your groups on a monthly basis. So that each month you can look at and say, who's giving me leads, who's not, how effective are they, what results. So maybe instead of Power 25, they belong in acquaintances. Maybe instead of Top 100, they belong in my Power 25. Recategorize, and from time to time, you can expect to flow into and out of. People are going to flow into and out of your networking 250. So you're going to have new people that come up that really can help grow your business, and you're going to have people that fall out that really aren't really helping your business grow at all, so you stop using them as a referral party. They drop out of your networking 250 group. Okay, people, great. So that's it. That's kind of an idea for you. And the reason, you know, I put currently what you are not doing is costing you more than you know. And that's the purpose of the call today, was try to open your eyes to something that you probably are not doing right now. And that you're paying a price for not doing it because you're not organized with it and you're not structuring yourself to demand your business get into the referral business. When really at the core of network marketing and networking is exactly that. Networking is all about, did you see a good movie? What good movie are you seeing? Hey, I saw this movie. It's an exchange of data. And that's what we need to do. We need to start being in the business of exchanging data. That's how you help grow your business. It's a whole key way of you supporting your growth in your own business. So if you're not doing it, you're leaving out a critical aspect of what network marketing is all about. So step into it. I think if you set up a sheet like this and you set up a program around referrals, you're going to force yourself to start going out and contacting people for referrals. And that's a great thing. And if you need language around how you ask people for referrals, I've done trainings and trainings on that. Look back on ManaTrain. I've given you Bob Berg's language, which is really terrific. That's on the, you know, how to build your business by referrals. I probably have 3 or 4 trainings on ManaTrain.net just about how to build your referral business. Our problem is the famous Nike saying, just do it. Okay? So step into it, people, so don't complain, oh, where do I find leads? One of the biggest and best places to ever find leads is the referral business, because you have an immediate breakdown of that barrier that we inherently have around trusting people, or most people have around trusting. You get to break that down right out of the box because you have somebody who they know who's referred you, and that gives you an immediate step in the doorway. Okay, any questions from today? I know we're done. It's 11 o'clock. Any questions, any of you? Is this helpful for you guys? Is it going to help you grow a referral business? Or are you going to be more tempted to start one?
Yeah, Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
It's Susan. I definitely like this concept. I have one question I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
The people who, I mean, with the Power 25, to me that's like, you know, you've really talked to those people, you've made sort of an agreement that you're going to refer to each other maybe, and it's, you know, that with the 250, are those all people that you've also like made this sort of pact with that you're going to refer to?
Well, they could be, or could, you know, your Power 25 is clearly people that you have, you look at as huge, that you may not even have a pact with them today, Susan. You could sit down and develop this program starting right after this call's over. And your top 25 might be people you've never talked to about doing a referral business with them, but they're in your sphere of influence, okay, in your circle of influence, and they're powerful people, so that you have a concept that they could potentially really be high-powered people in your, so you put them in your Power 25, and then you step out and you start working with them to find out if they will be participate with you and play ball with you. And then you can shift them out of your Power 25, but you need to start off with an organization of those. Your top 100 are going to be then include, you know, the top 25 are going to be your best, what you perceive as your best potential. The next 75 are the lesser potential than the top 25. And then your top two, the next 150 are going to just be perhaps people that you know, and you don't know whether they're going to, you know, they may not have, you may not perceive them as being high-powered, influential people, but they might really pan out for you. So you may not have anyone right now that you're working with as a referral-based business yet. You're going to have to, you don't have to, but I'm asking you to classify them in these categories in advance of approaching them. And then you just move them around based on their response to you and what they, how they show up for you in the next month.
And so some of these people in the Power 25 or the bigger group could be people that are even in your downline who aren't builders, but they refer people.
Absolutely. Because a lot of you already have some of those. You have people that said, you know what, Susan, I really don't want to do this business, but, you know, when I come across people, I'll be happy to refer them. Or you haven't quite developed that yet with them. They've told you they don't want to do the business, so you've just kind of walked away from them, and you support them as a consumer, but you have yet to really approach them and tap into them for referral business. And they love the products, so they're perfect for a referral base because they love the products. Absolutely. I find your top consumers that really love the products can become your absolutely top 25.
Then we need to do stuff to really develop those relationships so that it's not like we've just had the conversation and then there's no follow-up. You know?
Absolutely. And the other thing I suggest you do is you get in their lives and say, and how do I support you?
Yeah.
How can I support you? And, you know, that support system, what did it take me to help support this woman in her label business? One phone call over to Manatech to find out who buys the labels at Manatech headquarters, right? And I carry her card around, so when I talk to other people in different businesses, I said, do you labels? And I might get call her back and give her another referral. Because the more I support her business, the more she's going to support mine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it just it takes a little bit of effort for us. So you might, here's another suggestion for you. So when you get somebody like the woman I just talked about who isn't even taking, not even in my downline, right? What I do is I have a business card holder with her business card in it. So it's called my referral business card. And what I do is when I meet new people in different businesses, because I know this woman exists and I'm helping her grow her business, I might just ask off the cuff and say, you know, are you guys interested? Do you buy labels for your, you know, are you interested in talking to somebody who's really, does a great job of labels? I'd love you to entertain a bid from somebody outside your normal process. And they'll go, sure, Mary Jo, I'll do that for you. And I go, great. So now I can pick up, I don't just give her one, Manatech. I can find other people in my network that can support her business as well. And it helps me keep on top of supporting her. Because, you know, if you want people to support your business, you need to help support their business as well. And it doesn't take a lot of effort. It just means do it. And what a blessing you can be in other people's lives, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I joined a BNI group just like last week.
Oh, great.
And I've gone to visit a couple of different groups. And, I mean, that's the whole mentality is, you know, let me find out what you do. Let me tell you what I do. And we can help each other. So It's like that's the culture.
The whole mentality. Exactly. That's the whole concept around those BNI groups and all that. The problem is some people don't take it seriously enough. They don't get a tracker involved, so they don't keep track of who's really giving them quality leads and not quality leads. And that's where it breaks down. You need that tracking system so that you, Susan, can really isolate who are the critical players in this group that I'm real. And in order for them to be critical players for you, I'm going to suggest you need to be a critical player for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't go in there half-hearted, just be begging for leads. You need to go in there and say, how do I support you? And sometimes that takes a major investment by you to go and do some research and start networking for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they see the value that you're contributing, they're going to come back to you and pour into you in a huge way because you're really creating magic for them. See, our problem in life is that we walk into a BNI group and we think we have the magic pill or the magic stuff, and everybody's going to want it, so here's what I do, so just pour into me and you know. But that's not what that is. That's an exchange group where you need to pour into others. And the more you pour into them, because you can understand that if you had a great referral person pouring into you, you sure want to keep them happy, right? You want to, because they're giving you so much volume, so you want to make sure that you're serving them as well. And sometimes it takes us to step up and really serve other people before they start pouring into us. And you never lose. The more you give, as you sow, so shall you reap. So I would take, you know, if I just joined a BNI group, and I'm not a member of a BNI group, but if I just walked in a BNI group, I would take everybody's, you know, information. And the first thing I would do is I'd send them an email back from me and say, what a joy. I'm so excited to be in your group. I can't wait to hear more about your business so I can support you in any way that I can in what I do in my life. You know, and boom, they'd get that from me the first week. Mm-hmm. And they'd go, wow, this woman's really on fire. And she's sending me an email before she even knows exactly what to do.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yep.
Because what you're doing is you're building a relationship. You're, and that little email, it can be drafted and sent out to 20 people in your BNI group and take you 15 minutes to do it. And now you've touched each of their hearts in a special way, because I doubt that everybody's done that every time somebody new joins a group. But you want to, those are the kind of little things that pay off in spades. And then they might contact you right back from that email and say, oh man, Susan, we're just so excited that you're in our group too, but here's what I do, and if you could help me with this is what I'm looking for. And then you go, well, how's the best way for me to market what you do? How do I need to talk about you, or what have you found is the best approach to get people interested in what you have as a service?
Mm-hmm.
And ask them. They're the experts in their own business. If they can't help you with language or what they're really looking for or where, you know, what kind of people, you know, it's kind of like the Bob Berg. If you've watched Bob Berg's techniques, it's exactly that way. He kind of says, how do I serve you best? What kind of people are you looking for? What kind of services are you looking for? What kind of, you know, that's what you ask them. Let them give you the details of how to best find people for their, you know, business.
Yeah.
We make too many assumptions. You know, we say, oh, there's a chiropractor in there. Oh, okay. Well, I'll recommend anyone I find who's looking for a chiropractor. Well, maybe that's not what they're going to tell you to do. Maybe they have a whole idea of how to get people interested in chiropractic. So when you're working around your health people, you can say, you know, what about getting an adjustment? So you start building that into your rapport so you can develop and help pour into their business. All right?
Yeah.
Help?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone else have questions about that? Super. Get out there and do it, people. You got a lot of people that want to support you, and there are people looking for your support in their business. And when we pour into others, you know, you'll receive more than you ever could give. So, but we got to get out, and, you know, it's kind of like that same old thing. If you want more love in your life, you got to love more. You want more friends in your life, you got to go out and make more friends. You become a friend to people, and you will have more friends. The more you give, the more you give out there, that's what comes back to you. All right, love you all. Have a great week, and we'll talk again next Monday.
Bye. Thank you.